Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, in this country, it's relatively easy to grow carrots. But if you're not green-fingered or in a position to do that, you can always head to the shops to buy carrots that not only don't come from Ireland, but even another continent. You can buy carrots that come all the way from Kenya. So why is that? Siobhan Walsh is tillage editor of the Irish Farmers Journal. Afternoon, Siobhan.
Afternoon, Sean.
So is Kenya a big carrot-growing centre?
I'm not sure, but we get things much further away from Kenya. I wouldn't say that's that far to go from carrots. I'd say that's probably low mileage on some of the carrots that are in the supermarkets. Like, you look at raspberries from Morocco, onions from New Zealand. There's vegetables and fruit coming in from all over the world into Ireland. And unfortunately, as you said, we can grow vegetables here in Ireland for a certain part of the year. But unfortunately, some of these imports are driving down profits for our own vegetable farmers and driving them out of business.
Yeah. Now, is it the imports that drive, is it a chicken and egg thing to the extent that the imports are coming in greater quantities because our business here is shrinking anyway?
Our business here is shrinking anyway, but I suppose imports are contributing. People in other countries are able to produce on a larger scale and at a lower cost, and then maybe in the supermarkets they're being charged. They're at a lower price, and supermarkets here then are in some cases forcing Irish tillage farmers to take our vegetable farmers to take lower costs for their vegetables in the supermarket. So yeah, there's a bit of both in it, Sean. Look, we can't grow vegetables all year round either. We have a lot of vegetables coming on stream from April and May. You know, you'll see your broccoli in May, and we will continue to produce carrots and leeks throughout the winter time. But there is a certain time of the year where we have very little of our own produce, but certainly during the times of the year from the springtime on, I would like Irish consumers to be supporting the Irish farmer and insisting that they purchase an Irish product if it's there, and if it's not in your local supermarket, to ask for it to be in the supermarket and ask why it's not there.
So could you give us an indication of by how much Irish vegetable farming has gone down by?
Yeah, so in 1998, there were about 400 field vegetable growers in Ireland, Sean, and now there's only about 60. And they've got out of business for many different reasons, but costs is one of them. And particularly, you know, during the pandemic and during that time when electricity prices went up high, a lot of vegetable growers took the decision to leave the sector at that stage. Now, electricity and gas prices have come down somewhat in the last year or so, which has helped. But vegetable farms have huge amounts of requirements for electricity, gas, things like packaging and cardboard. All those costs went up, things that we would never think of. And also a huge amount of labour. Like, you think your Brussels sprouts on the Christmas dinner plate and there are, you know, tens and twenties of people out in fields picking those Brussels sprouts. So it's a very labour intensive business. It's a high cost business. And then you walk into your supermarket and, you know, vegetables are loss leaders and, you know, 49 cent veg and all these different promotions, where really there's no value placed on the hard work that goes into growing these crops. Like you said at the start of the programme, Sean, it's relatively easy to grow carrots. I don't know that it is relatively easy to grow carrots.
Yeah, I don't know either, actually. I was just kind of guessing.
Yeah, and if I'm sure if your listeners went out to their back garden and tried to sow some this spring, they mightn't have been too successful. There's a good lot of work in it, and all sorts of pests and everything that can attack those carrots as well. And I'd say the few carrot growers that we have across the country, if they heard you saying it's relatively easy and they out irrigating their carrots over the last few weeks, they'd be frustrated by that comment. I'm reading pages ahead of this week's paper now, and I see O'Shea Farms down in Kilkenny are harvesting their potatoes, and you just can't win. So in the last few years, we've had a very wet autumn for digging out potatoes, which obviously, you know, it's difficult if you have a tractor in a wet field or a potato digger in a wet field. It's very difficult to get potatoes out, and yield can be down because you don't get all the potatoes dug. And this year we're actually really dry, and that also causes issues. So I'm reading Tom here, and they're irrigating to try and prevent bruising of potatoes now at the minute. So you really can't win if you've wet conditions, you're losing, and if you've dry conditions, you're losing. It's a very difficult game. And, you know, I suppose those growers are becoming under increased pressure. Some of that pressure is coming from our consumers. You know, people won't eat a wonky carrot. A carrot hits a stone on the way down as it's growing, and it veers off to the left. And, you know, a consumer sees that in the supermarket and they won't eat it. Or the same with potatoes. You know, we de-stone the land before we plant potatoes in order to have really good quality. So if our consumers were a little less picky, you know, I'd prefer to eat a bonky Irish carrot than eat a carrot that's been imported from Kenya.
Yeah. But is that consumers or is that supermarkets?
I think it's both. You know, ultimately the supermarkets, you know, they survey their consumers and try and provide the products that they want. So it's a bit of both, Sean, probably. But definitely, you know, vegetable growers have huge amounts of inspection, whether that be Bord Bia or inspections for the supermarket they employ or that they supply. You know, they have inspections throughout the year where people come to their farm and check that everything is up to date and standard. And that's right. That's really good. You know, that Ireland has those high standards for food, but it does add a huge amount of cost to those producers. And then you wonder, are all these products that are coming in on the boat, are they produced to the same high standards? So Irish consumers have high standards in some ways, and supermarkets as well. And then in other ways, they're happy to just take what's coming off the boat.
And so we don't know if something that's coming in from Kenya, what degree of inspection there is, and would it be the same level of scrutiny as you'd get within the European Union?
Yeah, I suppose the supermarkets, you know, have some level of. I'm sure they, you know, they investigate what goes onto their shelves. But we see this all the time in, you know, I deal a lot with cereals, so barley, wheat and oats. And, you know, Irish and European cereals are produced to very high standards. We're not allowed to use GM technology, you know, genetic modification. There are a lot of sprays that have been banned, so chemicals that can't be applied to crops. And then we import products like maize that's genetically modified or that's using a spray that's been banned in Ireland for 20 years, and we import them into the country and use them. And, you know, so it's double standards. You know, for a lot of imports that come into the country, they're produced to lower standards, aren't as traceable as Irish produce. And, you know, that seems to be the way it is, Sean.
Yeah, why is that legal?
Good question. Will you ask that to the Department of Agriculture?
Because it seems strangely contradictory that, you know, to enforce these rules here and then just import products that have flouted those rules.
And presumably
then, if they're importing carrots or potatoes or whatever, and if it's coming from outside the EU, is there any VAT charged on that or a higher rate of VAT charged on that?
You're too hard on me there now, Sean. You're getting into technical things that I'm. You'll have to get some of the vegetable growers on in time as well. But like we have double standards in the EU, and I'd say some of our standards, you know, are resulting in people leaving the sector, and then are resulting in less produce being made. Like you think of Ireland, and we always think of the potato, and we're famous for our potato. We're only 60% self-sufficient in potatoes. We grow about 8,000 hectares of potatoes every year, and it's kind of been steady. It's not really going up or down.
Yeah.
But like people probably assume they're buying an Irish potato, and all this regulation and the high costs and the loss leaders in the supermarkets are resulting in us becoming less and less self-sufficient in our food. Well, we're not self-sufficient, but in becoming in any way sufficient. You look at the UK, and the UK's government policies are moving towards very environmental, you know, so they're encouraging people to grow a summer cover crop, you know, a crop that's not producing any food for, you know, biodiversity and habitats. And they're all very important things. And I think we do that very well in Ireland. We have a mix of habitats and you know, food production. But then you look at places like the UK and you hope Ireland doesn't go the same way, because the UK has gone so far. There's loads of it's more profitable now to go into some of these environmental schemes and not produce any food. And then we look at the UK and we see that their shelves are empty of vegetables and fruit, and they're not able to supply enough for their population. Mm-hmm. So I think Ireland really needs to take a good hard look at itself and say, well, you know, if there's another COVID or whatever, you know, in times like the pandemic, we ran out of the staples. We ran out of bread and flour, things that we don't produce here anymore because we've just decided to import them.
Yeah, and sugar as well, of course. We used to.
Sugar, yeah, the yeah. sugar beet. Don't bring it up. The farmers listening aren't going to be happy when you bring up sugar. Like, it's, you know, people don't like to remember that time when the sugar beet industry was taken out of this country and has been very successful in other countries ever since. So you just have to wonder why we're happy to import produce when we can produce it here. And the likes of sugar, you know, was always a very profitable industry on farms. And we, you know, we still have brands. You know, Sucre isn't Irish sugar, unfortunately. But we need to look at where our food's coming from and if we'll have enough food to supply our country. And do we want to have, like, we've very high standards for food production in Ireland. I would prefer to eat my Irish carrot than the Egyptian one or whatever it is coming in, because I know that farmer has gone through a rigorous process to grow that product. That produce and has met all the rules along the way, and it's a very safe and good product to eat.
Siobhan, thanks a million for talking to us today. That was Siobhan Walsh, their tillage editor of the Irish Farmers Journal. One person says, I'm from Kenya. Every export from Kenya, excuse me, is very high standard of chemical checks based on EU standards. And somebody else points out, which is true, some supermarkets do sell wonky carrots. They're cheaper, and it even says so on the bag. Well, you know, I suppose more of that, please, because a carrot is a carrot.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.